Do you truly love the Bible? Do you truly love reading the Bible? And I don't know how you'd answer that question because I don't live in your house. I'm not with you all the time, so I don't know how often you read the Bible. We're thankful that lately technology has allowed us to have Bibles that are more accessible to us or easier to read and carry with us. I'm probably like you. A lot of you have applications on your phone. You just tap one button and there's a lot of Bibles that show up. YouVersion is the one I use. It's on my phone, and a few taps on the phone and I can read from any number of translations and just scroll through and read a lot of the Bible and right there at the tip of my finger. Take it with me wherever my phone is and read wherever I happen to be, and in a waiting room, in a doctor's office, or waiting for the oil to be changed, or wherever it may be. And that's a great blessing that we have. Not having to carry a big Bible around with us wherever we go and packing it and all those types of things. So it's even easier to read the Bible now than maybe it used to be just even a few years ago because of that. But the question is, do you love the Bible? How often do you read the Bible? Because I think that would be the indication of how much you love it. Because I know that if you say you love other certain activities, if you spend a lot of time doing them, if you love a certain restaurant, you go there quite a bit. If you love a certain team, you spend money on tickets and you watch their games and so on and so forth. So the things that you love, you put your energy and your time and you devote your life to those things. So if you say you love the Bible, then that needs to be shown in similar ways. Now that's just logical. And you have to answer that question for yourself. It's not for me to get into your life and find that out. You have to determine that. How much do you love God's communication to you? That is God's Word. That's what it is. Over the years, we've seen a decline in the respect that's given to God's Word. We see this by the attitude people have about it. Once upon a time, if you go back far enough, people would say, all 66 books are the inspired Word of God, and even though I'm a Christian, I still respect both Testaments. The New Testament tells me to study the Old Testament. The New Testament quotes the Old Testament in prophecies of Jesus, in the creation of the world, in all the things that are in the Old Testament. So people said, all 66 books deserve respect. All 66 books are inspired. Even though I'm a New Testament Christian, everything there is teaching me something, even if I'm not living in that era or under the law in a particular book of, say, the Old Testament. Well, then things moved on from that type of attitude to, you know, since I am a New Testament Christian, I just really don't even need the Old Testament. I respect it, but I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to try to memorize any verses from the Old Testament. It really doesn't apply to my life to know anything from the Old Testament. And that's about the time when you had publishers that would print Bibles where there would be a New Testament only and Psalms and Proverbs. Now, there's nothing wrong with those Bibles. If you have one of those, I'm not trying to embarrass you or say that that's wrong to have, or publishers are wrong to publish Bibles that way, a New Testament plus Psalms and Proverbs. But I think it is interesting, and I think there's a reason those sold a lot of copies is because people started thinking, you know what? The only books that I want to read out of the Old Testament are Psalms and Proverbs. Give me the New Testament, give me Psalms and Proverbs, and that's about all I'm interested in. Well, then things moved on a little further toward present day, and people started saying, well, not only I don't want anything in the Old Testament, I'm not going to ever read the Old Testament, even Psalms and Proverbs, and I'm just going to study the New Testament exclusively. And I'm going to study it as if it applies to me, and it is I should respect it in that way, and just don't need the Old Testament at all. Then they came along and said, you know what? There's things in Acts to Revelation that I really don't think apply today. I think those are cultural, and I don't think how a Christian did things in the first century or the ways Christians ought to do things today. So I'm going to disregard Acts through Revelation. And I'm only going to study the red letters. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Master, and I'm not going to read and study people like Paul and Peter and John and the Hebrew writer and those people. That's cultural. That was a different time. I'm a disciple of Christ, and that's who I'm going to study. Well, then they start reading the red letters of Jesus, and they said, you know what? I don't really like all that Jesus said. I don't like what he said about hell. I don't like what Jesus said about divorce and marriage. I don't like what Jesus said about money and all in all. And so then they finally said, you know what? I'm only going to really devote my time to some of what Jesus said. Not even all of what Jesus said. And then finally get to the point today where some people just say, well, you know what? The golden rule is kind of all that matters. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's about it. That's about all that really matters of what I need to do in life, is to be a good person and treat other people with love. You can see how generation after generation, the Bible got whittled down and whittled down and whittled down and edited and edited and edited to finally just a few sporadic verses that some people just like. But they don't want to deal with things that are a little more difficult. And in a few weeks, I'll get into more of that type of thing and repeat some of that on a Sunday morning, on some of the things along that line. Is that the way you think? Is that how you approach Scripture? Just sort of doing a mental edit. Looking at things, studying passages that are comfortable and ignoring things that are uncomfortable. Deciding the parts that matter and the parts that don't matter for yourself. The longest chapter of the Bible, Psalm 119. You've done the exercise where if you try to open your Bible right in the middle, most Bibles will open up to Psalms, and a lot of the times if you do that, you'll open up to Psalm 119. And the entire Psalm 119 is about God's Word. It's about the love of God's Word. The first eight verses, they're all divided in eight verse increments, all divided by letters of the Hebrew alphabet. But the first eight verses said, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness, they walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that you should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed. When I look upon your commandments, I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. Here, the psalmist is saying, the greatest thing in my life is the fact that you've given me your word. And I know that the best thing for me to do is follow it. And that's really how the remainder of Psalm 119 goes. So tonight I want us to simply pay attention to what God's Word says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came to being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Yet God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus said to them, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. He is the chief stone. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. Waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, you through his poverty might become rich. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But we do not see him who was made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. And he came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." With many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. For you do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, having been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now for this reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the kingdom of eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart and on their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any suffering for sin. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them. Intending to leave the next day, he prolonged his message until midnight. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with their heart to the Lord. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections may be made when I come. Each one must do just as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth, and you will know the truth. The truth will make you free. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is for them, to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "But the righteous man shall live by faith." And to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the power, the glory of his power. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. We say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. The Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. For he says, at the acceptable time I will listen to you, and the day of salvation, on the day of salvation I help you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. If anyone this evening needs to become a Christian, putting on Christ in baptism, or you need prayers for the Lord, for relief in your life, or to put your burden upon him, and to receive encouragement from fellow Christians, we encourage you to come now while we stand and sing together.